And away we go on a Friday morning. You made it. The weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this 29th day of May 2020. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you on this wrench-throwing Friday. It's another fairly warm, kind of steamy morning, but this is the last of it. We're going to get some showers later on today, and that's going to clear out the humidity and make way for a much cooler weekend. If you've been waiting for the cool weather, it's on the way. But today, one last fairly steamy day, high 27, feeling 32. Pretty good chance to see some showers and thunderstorms by this afternoon. Tomorrow, more of the same showers, but cooler weather, high 21. And then Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds, but 15 will be the high on Sunday. As we mentioned to you yesterday at this time, the overnight lows, Saturday night into Sunday, Sunday into Monday, around 4 and 5 degrees. So we're going to be into some chilly overnights, but, well, not frost. So all good, everybody. And, hey, most importantly, it's the weekend. And with that, we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Excellent. And funny, I hear these catchwords that you use in your weather report. I walked out this morning. That's just a beauty morning out there. A little bit of a breeze.
Yeah, it still feels a little thick. A little close, as they say, in the humidity business.
Yeah, I guess in the morning I don't feel it as much. It's more at nighttime when I'm ready to hunker down and go to bed. If she's a little steamy, I'm not a big fan of it. But, yeah, ups and downs of the weather. But right now I'll take it, and I've officially launch my rollerblade season. They have arrived. I've got my tunes at Shopify or whatever, or Spotify.
Spotify. Shopify does a lot of good things well.
I know.
But what they don't do is stream music yet.
Well, I contacted them and I've not heard back. But I got a little notification on my phone. It said you got $50 in overage fees. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then I realized, I guess when I'm using that bad boy out there, I had not purchased a premium plan. I was getting charged for it. So I bought it yesterday, got it loaded, and my first song I put on there and Hammer's promising to play was Justin Bieber, Despacito. That's my leadoff song as rollerblading season continues, and I'm coming right into Hammer's neighborhood. I don't know his address.
Oh, are you going Speedo?
I don't know yet. A little chilly for that. But
might have a throwdown with a guy that is west of Green Bank.
But I'm coming your way. Coming right across the bridge, right into Barhaven. I'm going to find out where you live.
You have no idea. I don't know how you'll find out, but I'm definitely not telling you now.
Silence, JR.
I've been to Hammer's place once. I had to drop something off once, so I have a general idea. I could
got
probably
lost.
Help you out.
But you actually just drove by and threw it out the window.
Exactly. It broke on the driveway, but the message was the same. Anyway, all right.
I'd like to have some rival Speedo rollerbladers in Barhaven here. We could have ourselves a little battle.
Thanks. So you're, your neighbor?
Yeah. No. So we've got the Speedo rollerblader that's on the west side of Green Bank that likes to ride along Jacques Vale, that area there. Yeah. We call that old-timey bar.
Did you just en français and call it Jacques Vale?
Oh,
is that what
did.
It is now?
Yeah.
You told your fellow Barhavenites is now Jacques Vale?
Is there a designation?
The markets and shops are beautiful.
Is there a designation of the wrong side of the tracks if you're on the west side of Green Bank?
No, it's just old-timey. It's
that's
just
being
old-timey
inferred.
Barhaven.
That's
like,
being
like
inferred.
Barhaven has not been around very long to be called anything old-timey. It began in 1990.
Yeah. It's old Barhaven, and old is spelled with an E. Yeah, that's when you really know it. Yeah.
Well, you got new-timey Barhaven that's on the east side of Green Bank, and you got old-timey Barhaven.
I'm glad to see you have adopted timey as well. I'm a big fan of timey since we started playing old-timey music from time to time.
Yeah. Yes. Funny how time flies, though, boys. Moved to Orleans 1980. Can still remember my parents living in Canada. I think 1990, the golf course you're playing on, JR, was only 9 holes then. Barhaven, we used to skate when old Stevie Eiserman, close friend of myself, not really, used to rent the ice out in Barhaven. I remember us driving there in the summer. Like, we just see the sprinklers going on the NCC land there and being like, where the hell are we going? And we could just see in the distance, we're like, I think there's a town out there. Somebody said there's a rink. And I think they must have just opened up the Walter Baker Arena at the time.
And the Walter Baker Arena Center, right, is got to be one of the ugliest monstrosities. If that's not an ode to the 80s, I don't know what is. Let's put as much concrete and as few windows in a building as possible.
The
Cornwall Civic Center is the exact same thing.
Ooh, yeah. And that, well, actually the same model the Belleville originally had, right, with those crazy corners where they used that and blocked out the seats. The rink out in Kanata, not the Sensplex, but the one close to it where the Lasers played.
The KRC?
That's same theme, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that same feel to it?
Yeah, to a certain extent, for sure.
Monster pour of a base of concrete and then put a couple of put up some walls and a roof, and you're good to go.
And now you get into Stonebridge area there, Half Moon Bay. They've got new Minto place there with a couple of pads, and it's nothing but windows, nothing but glass, and it's beautiful.
Even you see the Washington Capitals, I think it's more of the Boston Bruins practice rink, right? When you see the footage of that, there's a whole wall, like, looking outside on their rink. It's kind of cool, right, to have a look versus kind of being trapped indoors. But now, did you ever make a JR down to Cornwall back in the day and see the old River Street Arena? Or
yes, my kid played in there. Is that?
The old wooden one, like it was just old.
There was a rink she played in that actually half of the rink was condemned. Like you couldn't actually sit in it.
I'm sure it is. I mean, this is
which is a bit concerning. As a fan.
No, as Fireman Bill used to say on In Living Color, that's a tinderbox. I mean, okay. that bad boy's going up at any minute.
Like, is it the one with the classic Forum double seats?
Yeah, I believe so. Again, this would go back to 1985 playing midget hockey. Go down there and play, and it was called the River Street, but it was just a big old wooden barn. Don't know if it's still standing anymore.
Yeah, well, they've got a brand new. Is it a threeplex or a fourplex in Cornwall?
Is that part of the sports school?
No, it's not. No,
well, it isn't.
No, that's out of an old hotel. You're talking about Oha?
Yeah.
That's built out of an old motel.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the Benson Center,
Benson
I think it's
Center.
Called.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
okay.
I think there's three pads there, maybe four, and it's a very nice facility. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Good job with that. But that's because Cornwall had a bunch of those old single pads, right? They were all falling apart. And it's like, well, just build one. And that's the way probably it should be, and that's the way it's going to be in the future, right? Single use pads, new ones. That's just not economically feasible anymore.
No, it isn't. And you always kind of touch on, or we talk about, hey, how are you going to figure out hockey and try to make it more accessible for others? You start to look at, first of all, equipment, time, everything that comes with it nowadays. But it is really tough to make any of these things go. I mean, a rink itself, when the energy costs and the breakdown, most of them are a break-even proposition.
Here's something that'll make you feel old, Zimmer, because you were probably, when this song came on the old radio, back in the 80s when you had the Jeep YJ going, sunglasses at night, Corey Hart turning 58 years old today.
Yeah.
Did you wear your sunglasses at night? Did you pop those on?
If I was driving home after having a couple from Stony Mondays, that was always a good look when the police pulled you over. Why do you have your sunglasses? No sunglasses at night. But, hey, real cool tune. That was very...
it really?
You're not selling me on that.
I don't know if sunglasses at night. There were a couple of his other tunes, though, I really liked. I mean, that was right in the wheelhouse of Loverboy to Bryan Adams. Remember that Fast Cars at Night or Black Cars Look Fast?
Gino Vannelli.
Like, there was this wheelhouse of some good Canadian tunes that... And that was, I think the advent.
Gino Vannelli, I'm insistent that he actually taped carpet to his chest.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. He always had it buttoned right down to the belly button.
Oh, okay.
And he had the full. Yeah. I will find some photo. He adds the old carpet there for the chest.
Yeah, I know, and that's much music. Old Glass Tiger, we were talking Alanis Morissette, all these Canadian bands. So, no, that was a pretty good tune right at the time, and very popular, I would say.
And so Corey Hart celebrating on Sunday, as is, speaking of make you feel old, Brooke Shields is 55.
Wow.
Brooke Shields is 55 years old on Sunday. Blue Lagoon,
yeah,
of course, remembered for, and... what is it? Was she Nothing Appears Between Me and My Calvins? That was an advertising campaign that implied that she was Commando.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yes.
Is that what... if she implied that at that point, I would have had no idea. I do remember Blue Lagoon. I think everybody my age, I'm a 68 vintage, was sort of pretty much in love with her. I think she attended Princeton, which I thought, well, everybody at Princeton must look like that. And I asked my buddy who went to a couple of those schools, Harvard or Princeton, what do they look like? He said, well, take the two smartest people in your class and bring them to the school. So
What does that mean?
No, I'm not saying anything.
Are you implying that nerds are not very attractive?
No, I'm not at all. I'm just saying don't be fooled by the movies that everybody at Princeton looks like Brooke Shields. And she made a little comeback with, is it Lazy Boy? Where is she in the last, 5 or 8 years?
Did she have a Brooke Shields line of chairs?
Yeah, but she had, where all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, there she is. I haven't seen her for a long, long time. And I think she's appeared courtside at a few NBA games. She's probably married to somebody with some cash as well.
And a lot of celebrities on Sunday celebrating a birthday. Clint Eastwood is 90.
Nice.
Get off my lawn.
The best one, and it is not.
What? There you go.
Well, no, not played very often, though. One of his best ones is Heartbreak Ridge, where he plays Gunny Highway. And the character in there, his name is Swede, who's going to take him down. That's a pretty good one as well. I was surprised yesterday, and this is kind of a sad one, and you have brought up deaths. I couldn't believe yesterday that Rob Ford was only going to be 51 years old yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, his brother.
And he had passed away how long? How long has that been now?
It's been a few years.
5 years, maybe?
I mean, I'm turning 52 in a couple of months, so yeah. I was a little surprised. And his brother was celebrating, and who would have thunk as well for where he started out and kind of the where that went, unfortunately, both personally and professionally. Who would have thunk that his brother, under a crisis, would be our premier? And I think for a lot of people, feel like he's done a hell of a job leading us.
Right. And also celebrating on Sunday, speaking of celebrities, and speaking of getting old, Joe Namath is 77.
Struggling.
Right there.
Yeah.
I don't know if Joe is struggling these days. He was struggling in that Monday night interview. God, that's got to be 15 years ago now.
Was it Susie?
Susie Colbert.
Yeah.
I want to kiss you.
Yeah, that was not some of your.
You know what? We got to play that whole interview at some point this way. Thanks, Joe.
Not some of your best work. Had he not won the Super Bowl for a franchise and for a city like New York, and I know it's the Jets, not the Giants, we're obviously not talking about Joe Namath nearly as much, right? If his career stats are, I'm not going to say god awful, but they're not very good, are they?
You know what? No, they're okay.
Yeah,
people have
referenced it. Hey, you know what? This was a big deal. It was the New York Football Jets. He was a good-looking fella. He played the whole playboy part, but with his career itself. And I did look it up before, and you'd have to do kind of a cross comparison. But, boy, there's been a lot of quarterbacks historically have had a lot better career than Joe.
All right, a couple of people obviously very familiar with the rinks in Cornwall have chimed in on text at 12-1200. The Cy Miller. I think the Cy is the one I was referring to with the double seats. Yeah. Don't know if that's the same one you're referring to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the rink in Cornwall that maybe is the Water Street rink.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Yesterday I was close with the Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
Now, and, you know, you got waters, you got rivers, you got all this. All I know is that we played midget, and they had two minor midget players that were called up. One was Scotty Pearson, and the other was my buddy Tony Joseph. Both played a little bit in the National Hockey League. Scotty actually is back here locally, and Tony is an undercover cop in Cornwall, listens to the show. Hopefully we're not. He's in on a stakeout right now. We don't ruin it. But good fella.
Simmer. It's radio.
I know. One of the funniest things, Tony Joseph, we came through the Ottawa loop here. Just a hilarious guy. A little bit of a temper. Big boy. We won all four games. We leave Ottawa, where we got the big case of beer on the bus. We stop in Tweedsmere at the Tweed, get another case. He gets into an argument with one of the guys on the bus, and I don't know what they're arguing about. He goes, I'll show you. He pops out the roof of the bus and throws the guy's clothes right out of the roof, like his entire wardrobe.
In motion?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Right on the 401. Pants might still be in a tree somewhere. Yeah, literally, and we're all looking, did those just go out the roof?
Wow. Okay. And, you know, really, you don't have a response at that point.
No.
You're bigger than I am.
No, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
You don't want to throw down with him on the bus, that's for sure.
Okay, anybody that's trying to avoid the constabulary in Cornwall right now, okay? Little piece of the puzzle right there. Tony Joseph, undercover cop, bit of a big boy, got a bit of a temper.
Yeah.
All right? Filling in part of the puzzle. All right, we'll take a break. 6:18. When we come back, we'll get into the news of the day. We'll get into your wrenches on a wrench-throwing Friday. If there's anything in the world of sports or the world in general that's bothered you the last 7 days, let's toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the weekend. Think of the acronym for wrench-throwing Friday, WTF. Normally, when you think WTF, you think, what the? So that's the idea of wrench-throwing Friday. Text your wrenches to us at 12-1200. You can tweet them to us at TSN1200, or you can send them to us via the old-fashioned telephone. At 750-1200, or as apparently they would call it in Barhaven, téléphoné, like Jacques Vail. All right, we'll come back with all of that. Dave Branch, OHL commissioner, will join us. This was, I believe, due to be Memorial Cup weekend, what might have been for the Ottawa 67s. And, of course, now not post-pandemic, but in the middle of pandemic. The effect on junior hockey of the cancellation of this and what it might mean going forward. Look forward to talking to Dave Branch next hour. Pierre McGuire coming up after 8. All straight ahead on a Friday morning. We're glad you're with us as we look forward to the weekend with Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Songs and looking up stuff, and I can never remember the artist or the name of the song, and that was actually pretty fun to roll through, and a lot of great tunes over the years.
That's where you gotta go into playlists. You go into your favorite streaming service, and people put together playlists, and so if you like big 80s, you probably put that in the old search engine, Zimmer, and then go big 80s.
Yeah.
And there's probably maybe one other person in the world that refers to it as the Big 80s, yeah. and maybe you'll find a good playlist.
Well, yeah. No, I've done that. There's a bunch of them. I know what you're saying, but it's very selective. There's some things there. Hey, there's some that you like. And I actually have threw a little Corey Hart in there yesterday as well, so trying to mix in. A little Honeymoon Suite as well. The little Waves Babies is maybe a warm down as I get to the end of my 10K or however long I'm going to go today, so we'll see.
Right. All right. Let's see here. Let's get into a couple of wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. Wrench to cannabis. Okay.
Oh, what?
Makes me forgetful. I'm loading the, I'm assuming he says G-bag. I'm thinking golf bag in the truck today. A couple of clubs light. If anyone finds a left-handed 6 and 8 iron, please return. That's from the meat of the order.
Wafting concert-like smells.
Yeah. Apparently enjoying and listen, everything, it's all legal. It's all good out on the old golf course. So, again, Meat didn't tell us which golf course he's referring to. So, Meat, if you want to text us back and let us know where our good friends that are playing the great game of golf can find your 6 and 8 iron, let us know.
Well, you know what? And I got a little bit of an issue there is that that's usually about 3 holes later that you realize you've lost your golf club. He's loading them in for the next round. So wherever he played previously, those are where 6 and 8 iron are, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Yeah, so
probably laying beside some green somewhere.
Well, yeah, a couple weeks ago. I'm just saying, like, usually
he may have played yesterday.
Oh, well, that's true. But usually, like I said, you're kind of through your round, and then you go to look for a club. You're like, oh no, forgot it. And most people are nice enough that they have it for you. You go back a couple of holes. So yeah, I'm a little worried. And multiple clubs on the same course. Wow, must have been hitting it hard on the old toke there.
Oh, that's it. Are we into the edibles yet?
Sure.
Okay, so if you take maybe it's that one where you take a little bit and it's like, can't feel anything.
Oh, yeah.
No. Maybe I'll take another one, right?
Gotta give it some time.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. Time is your friend there, my friend. They're meat.
Never done the hallucinogenics, but a lot of people say that. Well, the mushrooms are some of those things, right, where you don't feel like you've had.
Those are illegal.
Little peyote. Is peyote legal yet? Any of the stuff, LSD, that, hey, all of a sudden, as you said, there's some pretty good movies out there of people doing exactly that.
Meat is followed up Falcon Ridge. Okay, so if you're golfing Falcon Ridge, this is the one by the horse track. Okay, that's where you'll find Meat's 6 and 8 iron. If found, please just say, I just shouted out, actually. Hey, Meat, I've got your clubs.
And exactly.
The rest will pull itself together. Caleb writes, wrench to anyone who uses the phrase, can't have your cake and eat it too. Why the hell can't I eat the cake? That's from Caleb.
Shut your mouth, Chuck.
There you go. That's an excellent question.
Yeah, actually. That became a big phrase this week, this idea that the Montreal Canadiens are somehow in the playoffs, and why will they then be part of a draft lottery? Well, I don't think you're in the playoffs, but I am. I got to say, and I'm going to throw a wrench to the National Hockey League, I don't like these trophies being handed out already. If you're going to play-in games, allow those points or whatever things, and I'd love to see a couple of the guys get to 50 goals, so a little wrench to the National Hockey League.
How about another half for Commissioner Gary Bettman?
A well-placed wrench of that. All right, so keep them coming. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet us at TSN1200. Phone line is open as well for wrenches at 750-1200. All right, it's 6:30. Sens GM Pierre Dorion appeared with the boys on the drive yesterday. Ian Mendez and Steve Lloyd. A wide-ranging 18-minute interview that if you missed or you want to listen again, you can find on our website, TSN1200.ca. We got all your interviews, all your shows, all on demand, all the podcasts on the website at TSN1200.ca. Anything, you listen to it. And, before we kind of get into maybe going through some clips of what Dorion had to say, is there anything to you, Simmer, that stuck out?
No, I mean, he is, he's become very cagey, understands when it comes to stuff. In a Canadian market, there's not a lot you can say. You want to lead and you want to get super pumped and you want to deliver all this great news, but you have to be cautious. And so I respect that. But what you also recognize is that, not to get too far ahead of yourself, you're just very excited. I mean, you're the Ottawa Senators. And you're looking at the group that you have come, and you look at the year you had in Belleville, you're looking at what was, I say, a successful year in Ottawa, as crazy as it is, and you're the 30th place team, and now all of a sudden you're sitting on a draft lottery that Ottawa is. So, hey, very rightful to be. It's not been an easy go. It's not easy to work under the circumstance here in Ottawa. So overall, certainly excitement from Pierre Dorion, and also the part of kind of the amateur draft. I thought, you know what, he talked about how they're going to do all these interviews, and it's a big draft for them, and I thought tactically that smart, because when your owner asks you why there's no draft until October and your list may have already been done, do I need to keep everybody around? Hey,
right.
Drag this out as long as you possibly. We may get to the other side, guys, where guys like Stutzla and maybe other players start playing again. You may be able to go re-scout players. That's how far this draft. Yeah. This draft might happen at a point where some guys are back playing.
Well, Alexi Lafreniere, Bob McKenzie last night on Insider Trading suggesting that Alexi Lafreniere and his representatives are now kind of gauging that exact thing. Where might he play next year? Is it the queue? Is it the possibility of playing in Europe if the European leagues? They begin play in September, right? And there's a very good chance the draft may not be until September or maybe October.
Yeah, and with Lafreniere, it would be a little bit like Austin Matthews that I would assume that teams in Switzerland would say, hey, even if he came over for part of a year, it's a big name, it's a big deal. A lot of teenagers could make a dent in that league, but I would think Rossi would probably be playing there. Stutzel would be. And what I saw yesterday, something really intrigued me, was with the KHL wants to start September 2nd. A guy like Zub, who is under contract with Ottawa and may not see a paycheck until January, I'm curious as to what kind of pressure. People say, oh, he's already under contract. Well, I don't think the KHL right now could care less. That would be something. I'd just be a little bit worried from Ottawa, whether he can sit for basically 4 months without getting a paycheck, including this summer, and whether or not St. Pete will put some pressure on him to come back.
So you think the old Zuby, even though he's under contract for Ottawa, will what, break the contract, go back and play in Russia?
Well, this is what would happen. The KHL, I don't think at this point could care less. At times they've honored it, but for all the players they're losing, for where Russia's at right now, I could see that. The only issue he would run into, you couldn't play in anything internationally for Russia. Yeah. So I don't know if
that factors in. How are the Sens going to feel about that?
Well, they wouldn't be very upset. No, they wouldn't be happy about it. But as I said, I'm trying to navigate. And hey, this is also a young player. Don't know his family situation. When you think you're signing, you know that the season's going to hold off a little bit. But when I saw the outline for training camp yesterday, started to do my math pretty quickly and realized, you know what, we're probably going to have a Stanley Cup delivered in October, a little off season, probably want fans in the stands. Like I said, he may have to sit around a long time, and is he willing and patient enough to do that?
Yeah. Interesting. And what the part we don't know is it was part of his contract with Ottawa. Did that involve a signing bonus, which is kind of right? Got some money up front.
Could help.
When he did sign May 1st, we were in the pandemic. So even at that point, people were talking about, hey, next season may not start on time. We may be looking at a December. So I would assume his representatives would have been cognizant and aware of that and maybe made sure they got enough money for him to see it through until the paychecks start to arrive when the season starts, whenever that is.
Well, yeah, and he's also on a two-way contract, and we'll see if you get to the fall. Would Ottawa be willing to, and again, I'm just trying to kind of look at this and think, okay, if I'm Ottawa, and a normal training camp, you don't get paid, you get a little stipend, you get your housing, but if Ottawa wanted to bring back an under-23 team and play some exhibition games, I'm assuming that the Players Association, although different for the American League and the NHL, but would want players to start getting paid. Would they be willing to do that? So this is almost like a little bit of a lockout situation, right? Remember with Jared Cowan slid down because he was still on a two-way contract. A guy like Zub could come over, a smaller paycheck at that, but do it. So hey, lots of unknowns in this crazy world we're in right now.
My takeaway from the Pierre Dorion interview yesterday here in the station is that he has learned the fine art of not saying anything.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's not going to get boxed in by anything that he has said in the past, and there is something to that. As much as we would like information and like some absolutes from the general manager, he is not going to get caught because it's burned him in the past.
Yeah, very
and
much
as much
so.
As, and at this point, to be quite honest with you, I mean, he's done a good job at tearing this team down to the studs, as you like to call it.
Yeah.
That's the easy part.
Yeah.
You know, the hard part is now building it back up to what you hope will be a championship contender.
Oh, for sure.
You know, you do deserve. Okay, so you've made some good trades. The Erik Karlsson trade is now very much looking like, it's not a home run, an excellent trade.
Yeah.
He's made some bad trades too, but all general managers have good ones and bad ones on the resume. But the proof will be going forward now. I think the easier part has been the teardown.
Yeah, and hey, I'll say he's part of it because there's years he gets out, but flat out, it's the amateur drafting that's the story here. And I would even say in the case of Norris, was it the amateur drafting that identified him versus a pro staff? But hey, doesn't matter who's getting the credit. And yesterday, just directly, because Lloydie said, hey, Jeff Jackson was on this morning, Connor Brown, wouldn't even mention Brown's name because I thought back to Mark Stone where he was like, we want to get Mark Stone signed. Do I think he wants to re-sign Connor Brown? Absolutely. Does he recognize that this guy is a, you know, not a big part, but he's a, that's a guy you want on your team for sure. But you can't go out and say it because history tells us that maybe you want to sign him. Maybe it's not right for both sides. And maybe your owner isn't interested in giving him what I think will, at the end of the day, probably be a five-year contract.
Right. A couple of takeaways for me from what Dorian had to say. You know, and Ian and Steve kind of put it in, you know, and not in terms of absolutes, but some, you know, I think Ian mentioned, hey, I mean, are you thinking about playoffs next year? Talking about not getting boxed in with his answer.
Yeah.
He said, we're not going to put a timeline on a return to playoff, but we feel like this is the quote, the rebuild will start to pay dividends next season.
Yeah.
So in other words, the fruits of our labors, may not mean playoffs, but we should we will have turned the corner and be heading on an upward slope for next season.
I don't even know that, because I would have no issue with a younger team next year that finishes in the bottom 10. But what I also look at, and it's significant in every position, would I even think about bringing Ron Hainsey back after being off for almost a year and where he's at? No chance. Would I look to turn the page on some other players? For sure. Would I bring Craig Anderson back at this point and get in the way of seeing what Nielsen and Hoberg can do? Not a chance. But if I'm trying to push this along and I start safeguarding, and this is the part of, again, between the dynamic of ownership and management, where, you know what, you have to take that next step and not all of this, you know, these fallbacks is, I guess, what I'm asking. But, hey, do I think they'll be more improved? I'm not sure that they necessarily will, but that won't be a bad thing. Will they make forward progress in their rebuild? Well, sure they will, but a huge part of that is giving the young players an opportunity to play.
Yeah, I think it depends on how you measure progress, right? In terms of standings and points, I agree with you. I don't think there's any guarantee that Ottawa will necessarily be any closer to a playoff spot next year. But as you like to call it, forward progress the key players, the good young players, if they develop throughout the season, it may not result in more wins or maybe just a handful of wins. And maybe you're not that much closer to a playoff spot. But at some point, that the experience they get next season, you'll see a giant leap, and maybe the payoff will be the year after that.
Right? For sure. And again, this is just being everybody on the same page, because it is, you're in such a sweet spot right now, and if done properly, that's exactly what it is. And they got into the conversation, and I thought he was smart to say this, and hey, you know what, people, look how many draft picks you have, and I know it's a hell of a draft, so do I think the draft currency this year to bring in an NHL player is probably greater for the way they rate the draft? For sure. I mean, that's a big part of a team saying, hey, who could we get with that Islander pick, or who could we get with a second round pick? But this idea to also try to improve slightly with kind of marginal talent versus staying the course. And we've talked about, hey, if the Sorellis of the world, or like if there's a really smart deal out there, great. But the thought that Montreal or Ottawa are going to pick off, you know, these veteran players for second and third round picks that are suddenly going to take to the promised land, usually those are things that you do at a trade deadline that kind of augment what is already a very good lineup, right? It's something to put you over the top. Like even in comparison, like look at what Tampa Bay had to give up last year to bring in what are good players. But would you consider Blake Coleman to be a first round pick?
Yes.
Like think about that. Like do you like him? Oh, I like him. But if you're the Ottawa Senators, would you even consider giving up the Islanders first round pick for Blake Coleman? Not a chance.
No. Yeah. In my opinion, any trade that the Senators would make involving some of their picks for established NHL players, that has to be a player that is thriving for you and a key part of your team 3 and 4 years from now when you think you're going to be good. I have no issues with trading, you know, whether it be the Islander pick or some of the seconds, as you mentioned, or whatever. I don't have an issue, but you got to be bringing in a guy who's still got to be a key guy for you down the road when you're a contender.
Yeah, and I still feel like that's probably a year away. You know, like I'll say, hey, JT Miller's a nice player. Would that be a fit for where the Ottawa Senators are at right now? Not feeling it, you know what I mean? It's almost like, hey, let me immerse these young players. Let's hope the salary cap comes down. And also a takeaway yesterday, great love affair between Pierre Dorion and DJ Smith. And I do think that's positive. And I really hope, I mean this sincerely, because, you know, Paul McLean brought it. Guy Boucher brought it. It was Paul McLean by year three, it faded. Guy Boucher by year two. I just hope that that's the case with everybody, that they can continue, because this is not an easy process. And for younger players to come to the rink, and it can't be fake, but to come with a good energy and as a coach likes to say, to put the work in, it's such a big part of trying to keep this going versus getting sucked down by negativity and losing and everybody being in a bad mood and quite simply pressure being put on by the owner.
The other takeaway for me from what Pierre Dorion had to say yesterday, I think it was Ian that asked him, you know, how hard is it to kind of, you know, with no real idea of where, you know, where this is all going in terms of salary caps, et cetera, in the middle of this pandemic hockey world. You know, how difficult is that? And he essentially answered, we have a, and he was very, Pierre Dorion confidence came through on this. We have a very good idea of what the financial landscape will look like down the road, courtesy of the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Which I found to be a surprising answer. I don't know if that's confidence coming from Gary Bettman and Gary Bettman always being very sure of himself. I don't know of any other league right now that that at least publicly, and again, things can be said behind closed doors that that we're not privy to, that is that has any idea of where this is all going. Because we can't even tell when this season is going to start and if it's going to finish, let alone next season. And all of these leagues have CBAs that are up, except the NFL, and they've all got television contracts that are going to be up as well. The NHL. A contract in the United States is up for grabs the year after next. It's a $2 billion 10-year contract right now. 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I think they were looking at thinking, we're going to be hitting a home run here with this next American television contract. Are they thinking the same thing now? Are the same numbers being bandied about? I don't know about that.
No, and I remember reports a month ago, and I don't know if this is still the talk. There was some talk about setting the salary cap at $80 million for the next 3 years, and I thought, oh my gosh, if I'm the Players Association and in the climate we're in right now, I would be all over that. But when you hear something like that, I want to know what else it's tied to, right? I
mean, well, it's all getting clawed back, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but something's being given. Now, also to the point of, hey, I can put an $80 million salary cap, but then what does the escrow actually look like, right, for the players? So you're basically allowing teams like Toronto to spend to it, and at the end of the day, you know, 30, 40% could come out of the players' pocket. So, and also to Ottawa, you're trying to be realistic, but I also think they're in a phase where there's still some major pieces, and I'll say, at least in the here and now, if you wanted to do something on Kachuk, if you wanted to extend Connor Brown, to me, those things should be part of your vision, no matter how bad things get, that you would probably want those players as part of the mix because you're going to have so many entry-level contracts coming anyway.
All right. So Pierre Dorion did, I think the boys asked him at the end, you know, now that you have a date for the draft lottery, do you have any anything lucky? And he did admit that his father, who you knew, right, Pierre Dorion Sr., was a big-time scout. And his dad, he and his dad, especially in his dad passed away, unfortunately, in his late 40s, very early in life. Yeah. And but they played a lot of golf together. And he still has his dad's golf glove.
Yeah.
So he's going to have his dad's golf glove with him.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the whole draft lottery, I'm sure, is going to be virtual. So maybe he'll have it on or in his pocket, or I don't know. But that's Pierre Dorion's lucky charm, is his late father's golf glove.
Yeah. Zillion Memories was the head of Central Scouting when I got drafted to the NHL. He was a Gloucester guy. At the time of his passing, I believe he was the head scout for the Toronto Maple Leafs. A great guy. And I can still remember, it's funny how you have vivid things. Paul Gardner, former NHL player, was at Paul Gardner's wedding in Annapolis, Maryland. I walked in and David Poile and Jack Button were there, and they knew that I knew Pierre Dorion Sr. and came over and mentioned that he had passed away. And it was funny. I just remember exactly that. And I believe that's 25 years ago. I think it was in around 94, 95. So great memories, great guy, and I'm sure his father would be very proud.
So the lucky golf glove, should it pay off? And should the Sens pick one and two, or grab the one and two picks in the 2020 draft? How will Pierre Dorion Sr. celebrate that?
If we get one and two on the 26th, the next show I'll be back on talking about one and two.
There we go.
I might deliver a case of Coors Light to both of you. That's how happy I am.
All right. So Coors Light to the boys in the afternoon. No mention. Well, we you know, Pierre doesn't come on our show any longer. We're persona non grata, but maybe, you know, they could get the interview and we could get the beer?
No. Huh? Well, they
is that a possibility?
No, I was thinking the empties will be left here. We can cash them in, at least get a six-pack. We can split in the parking lot. And who the hell hands out Coors Light in Canada?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Like, what the
Let's
hell?
Get some home-delivered craft beer.
Yeah. Hey? Like our Kitchissippi guys are good. We're going to probably have a keg party the same day.
That's true.
We'll be good to go. We're good.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Drive, boys. You keep your Coors Light from Pierre Dorion. We got things taken care of.
So I'm taking Uber that morning.
Correct.
That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yes. All right, 646. Thoughts on what Pierre Dorion had to say. A bunch of them flooding in. Keep them coming. We'll get through those throughout the course of the morning. Text us at 12-1200. Keep the wrenches coming as well at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply when you do text us. So you can also tweet at us at TSN 1200. By the way, you can hear the Pierre Dorion interview again in its entirety on our website, tsn1200.ca. It is 646. As we roll through this Friday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
in one of their songs yesterday. I had to play it to make sure it was the right one. It was that Bob Cajun song.
Oh, great track there. Yeah.
That Bob Cajun song.
Well, no,
like,
I don't.
Amongst all the Bob Cajun songs?
There's more.
It's just called Bob Cajun.
Is that an album as well? Right?
No, it's on
the Neil Young Bob
that's
Cajun
on Phantom
song.
Power.
Oh, okay. Oh, is that a remake?
No.
Oh, okay.
Welcome back, everybody.
Justin Bieber.
6:54.
No, I have to. I was going through looking for all the different tunes. I'm looking online, kind of typing in different words so I could find them. And some of them I just have to play to confirm it's the one hit of the group that I like.
Gotcha. All right. Dave Branch, OHL commissioner, will join us coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. This was supposed to be a championship weekend at the Memorial Cup, which this year was going to be played out in Kelowna. It might have been the culmination of what looked to be a great year for the Ottawa 67s, but as we know, that is not coming to fruition. So we'll look forward to getting caught up with the Commissioner Dave Branch and just the effect of having to shut everything down, what that will have on junior hockey. Not only, obviously, the bottom line for this year and not getting any playoffs coming in, but with a very uncertain beginning, and who knows when things will get underway, if at all, for next year for junior hockey.
Yeah, and boy, Dave's been around a long time. His son, Barkley, who runs, is it Flint or Saginaw?
I think it's Flint.
Yeah, Flint was our stick boy when I was in Oshawa. So that's how funny that is. Called Dave yesterday. He said, "Oh, come on, got a Zoom call with Sudbury at 9:10, so I can't do that," and asked him what he's doing. He's actually living up in Halliburton, and had a little conversation with him, but sounds the same as ever. And I'm going back, 1980? We're talking 40 years, are we not, being the commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League?
It's incredible how long. It's as long as I can remember he has been involved with with the OHL. And I've been around for a long time. But I'm sure one thing that Dave Branch very thankful of with the Memorial Cup not happening this year is the fact that he won't have to do part of the post-championship game presentation in French.
Mesdames et messieurs, au nom de la Ligue canadienne de hockey, j'aimerais remercier et féliciter la ville de Shawinigan pour avoir présenté le tournoi de ce. Merci beaucoup.
Okay. And I can laugh, okay? I can hear people speak French and kind of get the gist of what but it mostly comes from watching hockey in French. Yeah. I can't speak French.
No.
But I can speak French better than Dave French.
You got to throw an accent. Now, if you're live on TV, you're in front of a crowd.
Yeah, okay.
You might actually have a Dutch accent. And I said to him, I don't really know the reference because I've been to Memorial Cups and I haven't paid attention. I said, the boys, JR is laughing about you presenting the Memorial Cup, or you won't have to present it in French. He just burst out laughing. So. Good sense of humor.
I look forward to it every year. It's part of the reason I enjoy every winning team getting its trophy. But for junior hockey, I enjoy Dave Branch's attempt to speak French.
Oh, that's awesome.
Bienvenue à Shawinigan.
J'aimerais remercier et féliciter.
Hey, Hammer, is that why you've gone with Jacques Vail now being Jacques Vail in Barhaven?
Why not now?
Obviously, he didn't listen to the Voulez-vous coucher avec moi.
Ce soir.
At least work on your accent for something. I don't even know what he's... But if you're good enough, it's like singing a Gordon Lightfoot album, right? Like, you really don't have to... You have no idea what Gordon Lightfoot's saying in that particular case. Imagine the French people in the building.
What'd he say?
Now, they always do, and I will say this, that's where you get the respect. They appreciate you trying.
Yes, exactly. It's all about the try. Karen is texting in at 12-1200. Simmer, would the NHL teams be able to give their guys permission to play in the KHL or in Europe until the next season starts here?
1,000%. Again, a player can be loaned. Question is insurance. I saw a little blurb there yesterday, Mike Liu talking about some of the disability insurance and issues. Maybe try to get Ludi on next week and talk about that. But no, the players are... I'm trying to think of this is interesting territory because normally during a lockout, if I'm under contract, a lot of players end up going over to Europe. I don't know if you'd even necessarily need the permission, but this is something different. But could they be assigned? Like if a Brady Tkachuk wanted to go play in Sweden and Ottawa said, "Listen, we don't want you to be off. Go play September through to whatever." Oh, for sure, players can be loaned. The question is, how many players, like the European teams are going to look at this and say, first of all, are you any good? Can you draw anybody? And now you're going to leave us in December. So how interested would you be? I would think a Rossi could find a spot. I think that Lafreniere, the Swiss League loves Canadian hockey players probably, but not many after that, right? Like a lot of the other kids, unless you're, a bona fide star. And in the case of Thomas Chabot, are you ever going to risk your 8x8 contract? Chances are no.
Smitty and Karp writes, good morning, Jen. Steve Yzerman said Detroit will name a captain next season. Should Ottawa do the same? Simmer, how important in the locker room is having a true captain?
Zero. I think it's a complete waste of time. I would give a captain, if I thought that for Brady Tkachuk, that getting him to be here long-term, and I presented him being captain of the franchise, but it means zero. Like within a locker room itself, not that, hey, people in Detroit knew Steve Yzerman was a captain in the room, but you know who your leaders are. It's so symbolic. I think in Canadian markets, it sucks the life out of a lot of hockey players. I actually would not have one, but if it helped you out in the case of Brady Tkachuk, I'd do it. And I was surprised when Steve Yzerman said that, and I was trying to think of, I think they're going to take the tact with Dylan Larkin of, if we give Dylan the captaincy, and we did this way back in the day with Kevin Hatcher, and actually Detroit did it with Yzerman, maybe he'll take more ownership. Maybe he'll step up a little bit. That's kind of think of where that's headed. But that's what I would do here in Ottawa. But honestly, for Canadian teams, Jer, I like, by the time Pacioretty rolled out of town, I thought, you know what? This guy wasn't having any fun. And you look at past captains here, like did Carlson and Alfie, did it help them any in their career? Did it take away? I think it takes away. What's your thought?
I think it depends on the guy. I think Daniel Alfredsson was a natural captain. I look at the demeanor when they, because what's expected of a captain, especially in the Canadian market, is you have to speak after every game. And it's not like it is in some markets where there might be one guy there and maybe he doesn't go to you.
Yeah.
In a home game, you know, there's 8, 10, 12, 20 guys that are there. In Toronto, 40 guys. All asking you, pumping you questions, and if God forget that you've lost the game, and if you're having a losing season, that can really, really drain you. I always thought that Daniel Alfredsson kind of took to it. Yeah. I didn't think that Erik Karlsson, I'm not saying he was a bad captain, I just didn't think he enjoyed that aspect of
it.
And if you don't like that part of it, it can really suck the energy out of you.
Yeah, and you're also asked to do a lot in the community as well. Like, you, and again, if you want to help out, that's great. But there's this idea via, and hey, credit to the Sens Foundation, they do a hell of a job. But do you know what I mean? Like, hey, and some people aren't natural for that. Some people just don't want to do it. Your job is to be here as a hockey player and perform properly. And I even look at a guy like Connor McDavid and how darn painful it is and getting out.
He'd be a great example.
What's happening in Buffalo with Jack Eichel. I mean, we'll probably talk about that during the show, right? Like, where these certain players, they all of a sudden, part of, and with Jack Eichel, is he frustrated? For sure he is, but he has no reason to be, in the sense of last year is the first year he really, you know, he's an elite player now, but because you're the captain, part of you almost has a foot out the door. Like, I'm the one that's sick and tired of asking or answering all these questions.
Right. As we leave this segment, another wrench here, a wrench to Wayne Gretzky for starting coronavirus so Alex Ovechkin wouldn't catch him in total career goals. Wow.
J'aimerais remercier Félicité.
Poor Dave.
It's funny. I don't have any wrenches in here from people with a French-speaking background for Dave Branch. Maybe they enjoy the attempt just as much as everybody else.
For sure.
We'll look forward to talking to the OHL commissioner on what would have been Memorial Cup weekend. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. But stand by. Latest news from 580 CFRA. The latest on what's going down in Minneapolis and around the United States. Man, it is getting very, very ugly. Chris Holsky will bring you up to date on all of that. We'll come back in our next hour. More wrenches. We'll look at this day in sports history. We'll have our official Do Not Accept Any Imitation TSN 1200 official draft lottery simulator. All right, we'll have that coming up before 7, before 8 o'clock. Pierre McGuire coming up as well as we roll on here for a Friday morning. The weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200.